Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Hi there, folks. Welcome back to the Membership Machine Show. In this episode, we're going to be discussing what are the best page builders or solutions to build your membership website if you're looking to build it on WordPress, which you should be, I feel. I've got my co-host with me, Spence. So, Spence, would you like to introduce yourself to the audience?
Yeah, hey, it's Spencer Foreman from WPLaunchify.com. You can also find me at WPLaunchKit.com for an example of how to use a lot of the things we're talking about today.
Yes, and Spencer supports the show, and he's a great co-host as well. Got more experience than I've got, actually. So let's go straight into it, Spence. I think the big divide, if you're looking at WordPress to build your membership website, and I feel you should be looking at building it on WordPress, is you need a way of building your website. And I think the big divide is, are you going to go native with Gutenberg, or are you going to utilize one of the other page building plugin platform solutions? I think that's the big divide. First of all, would you agree with that initial statement I've made, Spence?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I would actually take it up one level above that, which is, one of the main problems we face in WordPress, which I've made my focal point for the last 2 years maybe, but specifically this year, is how can those of us who are in the space of being WordPress professionals help to remove the flea market environment that is currently WordPress and bring a sort of unified understanding of here's how you onboard to WordPress and features? Because I will say this much, the customers, the clients, the end users do not care who makes all the parts. It's literally only internally within this little community that people care about who made what, when, where, and why. But if you go to BMW or something, sure, somebody cares if it's a special brand of radio or wheels, but it's a BMW you're buying as a complete vehicle. And I think that's the focal point that will help many of us get to the next level. This discussion today is about what's the feature set that's best for your client, but not worrying about so much where it comes from. And I think doing it natively is the default position today, rather than a third party.
Yeah. It's your position, and I'm leaning more to it as the months go by. I think Gutenberg, you can see the great possibilities with Gutenberg, and it's definitely getting there. But I feel the reality is that if you're going to go natively with Gutenberg, which, folks, is the native page and website building solution that's provided by WordPress.org and Automattic, which is the company behind them, you're going to have to utilize some third-party add-on solutions to really be able to utilize it and utilize its power. First of all, would you agree with that? And could you give us a quick outline of maybe 2 to 3 add-ons that you recommend so people can get the full power of Gutenberg at the present moment?
I do agree. And just to clarify, in case somebody is confused by the layers that we're talking about, prior to 2014, there really weren't page builders. Then Divi was one of the first major ones to come in. As we are today in 2022 and beyond, there's really 2 main page builders that are third party. It's Divi and Elementor. There's 3 or 4 other ones like Beaver Builder and so forth, but yeah. And I could go down the list, but those I want to call secondary conversations, because since Gutenberg has become mainstream, when we say native, we mean, are you going to use the Gutenberg block builder in the replacement of Classic versus using an entirely separate layer like an Elementor or Divi, which takes you out? Inside of Gutenberg, there is a need. Yes, that is absolutely true, which is what you just said. There's a need for some specialty third-party help. Unfortunately, it's taking them a gosh-awful time to get the native, you know, blocks to do anything meaningful, right? So from that standpoint, there are three main players that I call on. They're equal in many regards, but I favor one of them at the moment. There's the Astra Spectra combination, the Cadence theme and blocks, and there's the Generate Press Generate Blocks. It's interesting to note that if somebody has a social network and they're going to use Buddy Boss, then you have to remove the theme from that conversation and use the Buddy Boss theme and only use the blocks for the page building, which works perfectly fine. Yeah. But this is the type of granular knowledge that would be similar to you're buying a $150,000 car from us. And by the way, you need to know what kind of carburetor we put on and what kind of thing, you know, too much detail for most people. They don't care.
Well, you'd be advised not to care, but there is a large group that of membership founders that for understandable reasons get sucked into this and spend a lot of time having to research all this. And this is why this podcast, this live YouTube show is so important, because also you can consult directly with Spence or you can outreach to me. And that's the reason for this show. Yeah. So I totally agree with you. The two leaders are Spectre, Cadence, and Generate Press. My impression is Generate Press is more aimed in some ways more to the professional implementer stroke designer. I get the impression that Cadence and Spectre can be utilized by the same people, but is slightly orientated to the normal average user. That's just my impression. You don't seem to agree with that.
I mean, it's good when we don't agree, I suppose. I don't necessarily think that's as accurate. I would put it like this. This is the soda pop aisle or the cereal aisle at the supermarket. There is virtually no difference between any of those that we've got listed in terms of what they do or why they do it. There's slight differences in the nature of how they set up their menus and the metaphors and the naming conventions they use. But for the most part, I would think of it like this. Cadence is backed by Liquid Web and that entire stack of plugins and themes. It's got Ben Rittner was the original founder, but there's a marketing team with Kathy Zant. They have a lot of support, a lot of audience. Spectra Astra is Sujay Pawar and the entire, you know, got so Delicious Brains and so forth. They're really, really deep of team skill, quality, history. They make amazing products for a lot of well-known people in our business. Generate Press, Generate Blocks. I would say it's fair to say it's the streamlined one. So that would be the choice where you want minimal stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
That would be a way I would characterize it. And if you are coming in at like with a WYSIWYG mindset as an end user only, you might find that there's less, you know, bells and whistles, but for many people, that's what they're seeking. The rest of them, you know, they have equal varieties of the same thing, just not as much of a marketing presence.
Yeah, we're going to keep utilizing Elementor and offer it, but next year I'm looking at going to Gutenberg, offering it as a choice with Elementor, but we're going to go with Spectre. Because of the quality of the team, basically.
I mean, I've gone the other direction. I will say I had the pleasure of meeting Verdi Hines at WordCamp US. I love Elementor as a team, as a product, as whatever, but my position has been they have left the building as a platform. They have over 15 million users. They don't really need WordPress's community, and therefore their business is exemplified by their recent updates. Think of Elementor as a platform.
Yeah, I want to go for our break before we go into the Elementor a bit. So, folks, we're going to go for our first break. Got a couple of messages from our major sponsors. Be back in a few moments.
Are you looking for ways to make your content more engaging? Sensei LMS by Automattic is the original WordPress solution for creating and selling online courses. Sensei's new interactive blocks can be added to any WordPress page or post. For example, Interactive videos let you pause videos and display quizzes, lead generation forms, surveys, and more. For a 20% off discount for the tribe, just use the code WPTONIC, all one word, when checking out and give Sensei a try today.
The importance of backing up your WordPress website cannot be emphasized enough. We use Blog Vault to help us do this on a daily basis. With free staging, migrations, and on the pro plans, malware scanning and autofix, Blog Vault is the professional's choice when managing just one website or many. Go to blogvault.com and see for yourself. You seriously won't find a better, more complete solution. That's blogvault.com, blogvault.com.
We're coming back. Just want to point out that one of our CNC LMS, one of our great major sponsors, if you're looking to build a learning management system and you really need it to integrate with WooCommerce, definitely look at their solution. They're from Automattic. It all works flawlessly with WooCommerce. Go over, and there's a link in the show notes. When you use that link, you'll get 20% off. It's a great deal, exclusively offered on the for the word for the people listening and viewing this video. So let's go straight into the next choice. The other big gorilla, Elementor, the free and the pro. I think they offer free still. I'm not sure about that actually. But you definitely is. Like you said before, we went for our first break. They've got over 15 million users. They've managed to establish themselves. It's a great product. How would you classify your views, which you were starting to do before I rudely interrupted you, as I always do? What's your views about Elementor?
Indeed. The thing that's, I want to take us back to the point of where my perspective is going with all of this. Being in WordPress since the beginning, the evolution has gone from like a fun diversion that lets you do a blog or something into a CMS. But it's not just a CMS. I like to think of WordPress as an entire platform. But when you use that term platform, you have to think of it in terms of, well, what's the difference between this thing that you own and control, that you have to make all these choices about the ingredients, versus when you go to a normal SaaS platform today, where a Wix, a Weebly, a Shopify, a Squarespace, a ClickFunnels, a Kartra, Kajabi. The difference is they curate out the features and present you with, here's what we have to offer, pay us a certain amount per month. Whereas WordPress has up till now been, go to the flea market, get some advice, pick all your ingredients, go home and make your own thing. And what's different now is that Elementor has one of the first breakouts, the biggest breakout from the plugin space, that has said, you know what, like WordPress is kind of an ingredient of what we do. I mean, it's true that WordPress is foundationally doing a lot of stuff, but when you think about it, 99% of what's done with the user interaction is what gets put out onto the screen to be viewed visually, and what's the main editor doing. All the other things are accessories to that. So what I think Elementor is fairly saying and doing is they're saying, look, we're just making our own platform now, and we're really kind of like a choice between, do you want to have WordPress first with the other ingredients, or do you want to go with like Elementor Cloud, and we optimize, streamline, perfect it? No, but I mean, just think of it that way, because that's the same thing that happened with Wix or Weebly or Squarespace. They're not giving you choices. They're saying...
I understand where you're going. I have a slightly different perspective on it.
Let me have one thing. Sorry. Yeah. If there was an email sent out yesterday from Elementor that specifically said, you need to wait 4 weeks between updating Elementor if you are self-hosted versus 2 weeks on our platform. And the reason they said why was because of all of our changes and updates, we highly recommend that you need that leeway time in order for things to be ferreted out. That is just as strong a signal as anything of the future to come, which is our platform is going to be way different than the WordPress experience. That's it.
Yeah, I that's why I'm looking in the new year to, because I could see that happening. And for understandable reasons. I before going to the other things about Elementor, is the basic thing is, as they build their own platform, it's gonna, where the divide's increasingly gonna happen is in the third party community, because obviously there's a cost in making sure that your third party plugin works for all these, for Gutenberg, and then you've got to test it, make sure it works with all these other leading platforms. There is a cost for the third party plugin community in having to do that, and they bear it because they've had to. As Gutenberg gets more market share and improves a bit more, and these third party add-ons that we've discussed for Gutenberg also improves, more of the third party community are going to look at this cost, and they're going to drop certain of the third party plug page building solutions. I just see that happening. It's just a business consequence, because they're going to want to utilize that time and energy in improving their plugin, not spend it on testing and everything and all the support costs. Would you agree with what I've just outlined, Spencer?
I do, but I think that applies not just to the page builder environment with third-party plugins. I think that applies to the WordPress environment with Gutenberg and third-party plugins. There is a battle for market share going on. I mean, this is not something that should be surprising, but the way that things line up is, think of it as vertical silos, right? And the vertical silos that we're talking about are basically, you have WordPress.org and .com and Automattic on one. You've got the hosting companies individually on the other. And then you've got certain larger individuals and or page builders are trying to make their own vertical silos. And I think it's fair to say that everybody who's in those silos wants to essentially gain the customer share, just like Netflix, Disney, Hulu do today. And the only way that's going to happen is by differentiating what their offerings are and then curating them. That's the thing. Like, today, everything is random and works on WordPress. But as time goes on, mark my words, the third-party components will be curated into more specific to that vertical type features, yeah. And they won't be cross-compatible anymore. And that's good business, by the way, for the plugin authors. Because right now, the plugin authors are left on their own at the flea market with a table in the rain on a Sunday, hoping the right people come along. And it's ridiculous. Yeah. They get no central...
Well, it's caused a lot of extra costs, a lot of extra resources. It's not really discussed that much because people just don't want to go down that road. But it is a extra, made extra costs, made it more complicated for plug-in producers. But Elementor is the biggest of these pages. A lot of the third-party plug-in are going to, for the foreseeable future of this list, they're going to make sure that their plugin works with Elementor because of the market share that it's got. But there's a couple of other things about Elementor. It was highly criticized about the speed element of using Elementor Pro. Obviously, that was due to what I call divitis, which in their latest version, they're going to use Flowbox, Webbox, I forgot the term. sorry, I got the term wrong. But what I feel that some of that is installing, the same thing that affects Gutenberg. If you install a load of third-party library of add-ons, blocks, third-party block libraries to Gutenberg, it will slow it down. And the same thing applies to Elementor. If you add a load of third-party block widgets, and I think if you're really on pretty good hosting and you optimize it, it's not so bad as it was made out. What's your thought about that?
I'm not sure that. There's a part of what you say that I agree with, but let me clarify. In the case of a third-party page builder like Elementor, it's definitive factually that it takes more and more memory as you load up more add-ons. But more importantly, the add-ons themselves, as we were talking about a moment ago, oftentimes are a step behind Elementor, and that would cause catastrophic failures. The page builder wouldn't load, the site wouldn't load, there would be crashes. So I was a big fan, and I still use some of their products, of Happy Add-ons, right? Happy Add-ons for Elementors did some clever stuff. I still use their licensing product called Appsero for my LaunchFlows plugin, but I don't use Elementor Happy Add-ons combo anymore, because almost every time Elementor updated, the entire site would go down, because Elementor apparently was not giving enough lead time to the developers to catch up, and that extra stuff would just break. Elementor on its own definitely requires 512 megabytes of PHP memory in order to function properly, which is a big ask of a lot of people on minimal hosting. But let's talk the other way around. I have yet to find evidence that Gutenberg creates more of a load because you have more add-ons. Now, this may be different when it comes to third-party things, but because it's native and because it's PHP loading and so on and so forth, rather than loading up in the browser, I feel like maybe there's a more optimized scenario. So similar to when I get this question, people often say, Spence, I have 852 plugins. Is this a problem? I say, no, it's not the quantity of plugins. It's the quality and the load size of them. You could have 2 million plugins that are a kilobyte each and it wouldn't make any difference. So I think that's what people need to be aware of, is that by sticking with well-known authors that have a suite of things, what you want to avoid is overlap. And that's a problem of the marketing today as well, because nobody can afford economically to market a single Gutenberg block. And everybody's trying to sell you literally like an entire suite of kitchen appliances instead of just the knife or the spoon or the fork. And I think that's one of the things that is really going to change over time, as I said, where it'll be better for the consumer if we have an ecosystem that is standardized, where somebody can make one block for free or otherwise, and just have it marketed into that economy, then you could sell spoons.
I really think things could be improved. I agree with you. But the problem of having just one solution is it excludes competition. So there's a balance.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you think of like Lego blocks, sure, Lego blocks is proprietary. But theoretically, with a 3D printer, somebody can make a Lego block that has the pattern and snaps in the Lego blocks. Yeah. That's different than today, where somebody has to sell you 52 Lego blocks just to give you the one unique block.
Yeah. I agree with you. A lot of energy has been utilized unnecessary that could be focused in improving things that really matter. We're going to go for our break. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, it's Spence from LaunchFlows.com. If you've been looking for a fast and easy way to create powerful sales funnels on WordPress, then look no further than LaunchFlows. In just minutes, you can easily create instant registration, upsells, downsells, order bumps, one-click checkouts, one-time offers, custom thank you pages, and best of all, no coding is required. For as little as $50 per year, you can own and control your entire sales funnel machine with LaunchFlows. Get your copy today.
We're coming back. Why don't you sign up for the WP Tonic monthly newsletter, which is aimed at membership builders? You just go to WPTonic/blog, and on the side, you'll be able to sign up for the monthly newsletter that's aimed at membership entrepreneurs. Please do that. And you can also join us live with any questions you've got. We normally do the show at 8:30 on Fridays Pacific Standard Time. We've got a slightly different time today because Spencer had a prior engagement. But we're normally going to do this at 8:30 Pacific Standard Time every Friday. Join us and you can ask us live any questions about building a successful membership site on WordPress or in general, whatever platform. And it'd be great that you can join us. So let's go on with our discussion. The next really big player, is a big player. It's not been a part of a community that I've spent a lot of time with, but is Divi. What's your thoughts about Divi, Spencer?
I have to frame everything in terms of the market opportunity. So Nick Roach, one of the first, really the initial in 2014 success stories of a breakout of a theme with a page builder. Early days, committed to using short codes as the output. And back then for 2014 and 2017, we were all talking about what would happen when the day comes that you have to remove all those short codes. And the day has come. And so the thing is, they have an estimated market share in excess of 825,000 users, which, while less than Elementor, these are paid users who are loyalists. I mean, I continue to pay for Divi because I don't even know. It's 30, 40, 50 bucks a year. It's like I just keep it around as a convenience factor and to support what they're doing. But here's what I have heard and what the evidence seems to play out they're going to do. They recognize the reality that the interface they have is really beloved and familiar to so many designers. But I've heard they're going to change their model to similarly go cloud as the primary focus, but for the plugin to make it where it will output Gutenberg blocks. So if you can think of it this way, Divi will still be the interface, but instead of spitting out short codes, it'll spit out compliant blocks, which actually is a conversation that not many of these other companies are addressing, which is, how does a non-JSON, PHP, JavaScript, HTML expert make their own blocks? There's a few plugins that do that kind of thing, but they're very unique. Divi is an interesting business model opportunity where they could make something that for the layperson, just make custom blocks. And if those are shareable, even the better. That could be a whole industry of freelancing.
Yeah, I totally admire the Divi founder, the Divi crew. They really know their users. I think it's always, this is only my perspective, Spencer. I always felt that they were really loved by power users, designers, people more in the graphic design, leaning to the more developer type that were more maybe Elementor or StudioPress, and around when StudioPress was with Genesis and what WP Engine is doing. They're kind of two separate worlds from two very separate communities almost, with a different emphasis. That's how I rationalize it.
Divi is, they've absolutely made a choice all along to be oriented towards the visual people first, which is terrific. It's low technology. It's actually low feature set when it comes to the kind of mechanical things that Elementor could do before them with add-ons or otherwise. Today, as we stand, I think that's a fair assertion as well. Divi is for somebody that's familiar with their interface. They want the graphical capabilities. They like the look and the feel of what the interface does. They don't care. I don't know, quite frankly, I don't know whether Divi is going to grow a huge market share. But for those that are loyalists, I think they've set, and Greg has a comment here, but I think I already answered that. They've set for their loyalists a way to stay with the familiar and great interface, but output something that is compatible with 2022 and beyond Gutenberg blocks.
Yeah. I think one of the other great strengths on the more design professional designer that was building a website for a client is that you could save templates. You could make your own template designs and save them and reuse them for another client's website and do it pretty painlessly on the Divi platform. I know that was a feature that a lot of designers and that just loved, Spencer.
That was a differentiator back in the day. That's a standard feature today. And it's even part of Gutenberg, which is one of the reasons, I mean, if I'm going to compare, let's say, Divi and Elementor to Gutenberg, the thing that I speak of as of this week, even's videos, I can make a pattern from an existing starter template or from scratch, save it natively, but I can also copy paste it from site to site to site to site to site with no extra tool. That in Gutenberg is incredibly powerful, and you can't do that with Divi and Elementor. You have to save a JSON file and then import the JSON file into their builder. And that is what is a big difference. I can't tell you how fast it is to just mock up, and even if it's not pixel perfect, get the gist of a design from one thing or something that exists, hit Control C, go to another site, Control V, and be done. I mean, that is a game-changing expediency tool, you know.
Yeah. So, let's go on to the next one. Beaver Builder. Fantastic developer team. Some of the nicest people in WordPress. It's a powerful tool. It's in two parts. That's always caused a little bit of confusion for the average person. I think it's very popular with, some ways it overlaps with the same set with the Divi, but slightly different. I think it's still seen as producing really clean code and really the kind of WordPress agency that doesn't really like Elementor, that hasn't lent to Divi. It's seen as a kind of professional agency tool. That's how I'm rationalizing it. What's your thoughts about Beaver Builder?
Energetic team, you know, very innovative when they came out. I have nothing to say about the tool itself, but I will suggest my opinion is that there are like, let's use the metaphor of electric cars, gas cars, and horse and wagons. They are sort of like a gas car company that came out after everybody was riding around on horses and wagons. And it was like, wow, this is great. I had a lot of clients that used them in the marketing space because it was clean code. It was simple, not a lot of the Divi stuff. But now that we've got electric cars driving around, I mean, with Gutenberg, I think they'll have their loyalists that'll stay with them because they're familiar. But I just don't understand how they're going to grow market share with a product that's a gas car in a world of electric, amazing, cool, innovative stuff, which is Gutenberg. And since it's not native and you still have to load it up, the user experience is not the same. Objectively.
Yeah, I can only see them integrating more and more with Gutenberg if they want a long-term future. That's how I can only see it playing out.
I'll use another metaphor. Like, we all have phones that look like this, okay? There was a time, you know, Android or iPhone. It's a brick that has a screen on it. There was a time in the early 2000s where there's Nokia and Samsung and all these companies making phones every shape and size. It was like a status symbol. What does your phone look like? We all eventually got over the BlackBerry. We got over the Trio. We got over the other flip phones. And now here we are. It's this. And it's just common sense that everything will eventually commoditize. And there's just no need for 57 different competing page builders anymore. It's just the companies need to make Gutenberg components. That's it. And Elementor and Divi being the grandfather or grandmother and father, they'll exist on their own because they already had the users. But there's no marketing incentive for people to make 500 prototypes.
It doesn't seem to stop more people building page builders.
Because this is a big point, okay? And Greg is our loyal fan here, is going on about some of these points. Everybody in WordPress who bothers with this stuff is like me when it comes to classic cars or airplanes or guitars. I can go to the classic guitar store and fiddle over a Fender Strat or a Gibson, you know, this or that forever. But the end user, the people who make their living,
could
give a hoot. Yeah. And the person who's buying the site, they only care about what it works.
But there's distinct buckets in the WordPress community. There's the agency, there's the power user, the power developer, freelance. There's different buckets, different
groups. There's definitely preferences of tools, as we're going to talk about a couple esoteric ones. Just like if you used an online word editor, you know, a text, what do they call them? Word processor. It's like a long time. There might be 57 tools. There's a big market for all of them. I just want to differentiate that it's less important which tool you buy from today onwards. But if you are previously familiar with something, good for you. Keep using what works. But don't use
this conversation. This conversation's aimed at the person looking to build a membership website, but you're going to come across all these page builders, and we're hopefully just giving you and a lot of the advice that you'll find online is driven by affiliate interest. I do have some affiliates, but this discussion is totally independent. We're not getting paid at all by affiliate income for our faults. So we're just giving you an honest review. So just be aware. That's why. Let's go into the next one, which is beloved. We've got a couple of people joining us. You can comment, join the show with us when we're live. Craig is a regular. It's become a real favourite with what I call the freelancer power user that joins all these WordPress-orientated WordPress Facebook groups, blah, blah, blah. And that's the Bricks Builder. It seems to really appeal to the quasar freelancer, small agency, a person that's building websites for clients. And it's got a lot of excitement in it. What's your views about Bricks?
Well, I know we're going to talk about it in a second, but I have to tie this together with the number six, which is Oxygen.
Oh, you know about that, don't you?
Okay, so Bricks is my simplified way of saying Bricks brings an Oxygen similar editing experience to the plugin space versus Oxygen, which I haven't kept up with it in the last couple months, but previously just essentially pretended that WordPress doesn't exist when the editor's in place. And to a certain extent, these appeal to a very militant, esoteric group of people that have pitchforks and torches and just don't seem to be following the reason that this exists in the first place, which is we're in WordPress with the classic editor, and then they put in place Gutenberg. And because of what Elementor and Divi had done before, somehow the Oxygen guys went off and said, we can do a better interface, which I think they did for those very specific people who are designers. But they did it at the expense of pretending that it didn't start from or have to exist in the WordPress world or space. And it caused all kinds of these weird rules and exceptions and breaking of stuff. And it just was an aggravation to me because when you're making a product that relies upon the content field, you know, it is there. And suddenly it's not because somebody's using Page Builder. You're like, that's ridiculous. This is like you're driving a car and you say, let's throw out the steering wheel or something. So Bricks did this a little better because it didn't break all the metaphors, but it's still like you're buying into that interface. And I want to just say this. We have AI that's coming on the horizon. We've got the Gutenberg blocks natively or from third parties. We got Divi converting stuff. I think this whole conversation is going to be like the which is the best way to carve your wagon wheel out of wood tool. Once everybody's in the electric car world, these kinds of things are going to be irrelevant because you're just going to say, let me finish.
It'll be
an interface AI.
Yeah, I think the lead developer, I think it's Thomas for Bricks, they seem a great team and they're very done a fantastic and they seem to be on a real charge. But I just don't get it. I understand people like some of the people that are joining us live, like Craig, why they love it. But, you know, I just don't, in pure business terms, I just don't see a future for it. Elementor, Divi, they will find their niche because they've got an enormous history and an enormous community. But the emphasis increasingly is going to be with Gutenberg, and I just don't get it. Now, you talk about Oxygen, and he lives close to me. I've outreached to him to come on my other podcast. He's never bothered to reply to me. Obviously, he doesn't like me. And then he brings out this breakdance thing, and he seemed to very effectively peeve off a lot of people.
Because You can look at this model, like this goes back to marketing, this goes back to read the handwriting on the wall. This happened in a different space, in the CRM space, when you originally had Infusionsoft and Clayton Mask took private equity. They screwed up his business. He had to come up with a new thing called Keep. And you see this with PayPal. Okay, I don't know what the guy is doing from Oxygen, but I know because they can't get enough traction mainstream for the reasons that it was breaking stuff. He had to come up with a product to go into the more mass market. And in doing so, the people with the pitchforks and the torches went after him and went after that because it was just the same kind of alienation. Like, we have a cult. We've all bought into the cult. We're screaming at everybody about our cult, even though factually it's not true what you're saying. And yet you're defeating our cult by going out of the cult and selling on the mainstream. And see, that's the whole point. Anybody can make a business about anything and succeed to whatever extent they want. But when you're talking about the customer, you're doing a disservice to any client or customer that you deliver a membership site or otherwise to by using something esoteric.
Yeah.
It's just the same as in the old days when we used to have to spaghetti code a solution because there wasn't some plugin for it. And then the person who writes that code disappears with their life. And the site owner needs to update at some point, can't find that person, and nobody else can read their code. That's the same problem. When you go to IKEA or to the Lego store, they're not doing weird stuff. They're doing standardized stuff. And that is the ultimate benefit for anybody in the ecosystem, whether they're selling or the end user. And anybody who breaks that model today going forward, I think, is doing a disservice to themselves and their customers.
I've got to agree with you, Spencer. I'm sorry. I can understand Elementor and then Divi if you're building your own stuff. But anybody that's building websites that isn't looking at either Elementor or Gutenberg and utilizing one of the add-on frameworks that we've discussed at the first part of this show, I just feel you're doing a disservice. Honestly, I just feel you're doing a disservice to your clientele big ways. Yeah, it's just, I just totally agree with you, Spencer.
I mean, Greg's making a comment here I want to address because we're very loyal to Greg as a fan. But
great guy.
His point, Greg, you're drinking the Kool-Aid because he's referring to something that the Pitchfork and the Torch people would say. And I'm like, you're out of your minds. That is, the performance is amazing. And it's like so fast. And it's like, everything is amazing. You could take any one of the Gutenberg standard stacks today, put it in place and get an A+ from all the bogus, you know, speed ratings. But more importantly, for a real website that does e-commerce, membership, marketing automation, we live in a world of anybody, anywhere, anytime, on any device has that site load so fast, they don't know what's a millisecond of difference. So the performance conversation is like talking about text messaging 10 years ago. Like everybody just sends messages now as if it was normal conversation. So can we please end performance as a conversation point? It's irrelevant.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go on. Another one to finish off, another great team. I interviewed them a while ago, really nice people. Got a lot of interest and then it kind of died down. That's Brizzy. I don't want to be nasty because they're such nice people, but it's a bit like Oxygen or Bricks, you know, Thomas, great people. I just don't see a long-term future for it.
Brizzy is dead. I bought the original Lifetime thing because I felt it was very innovative. I don't know. I'm going from memory. Wasn't that 3 years ago, maybe?
Four? It was time. It's just flying.
Okay, and then there was the whole... What was innovative at the time was not only the interface, but that you could have these hosted pages. Then, unfortunately, we learned very quickly the hosted pages get blocked by social media. So if you send traffic from Facebook, the page is blocked. And then the developer reached, again, I feel sorry as a person who develops. The reality started to set in of like, man, we've bit off a lot more than we could chew. Yeah. Hosted platform, plugin, the plugin and the platform are different code. We sold Lifetime stuff. We're getting no revenue. Brizzy, sorry, sound the death knell on that one because I don't understand where that's going to go. I think he's maybe going to come up with something else. But again, imagine the market we're in with phones, right? You can't enter the phone market today with anything. Why? Because it's Android, iOS, and maybe still a little, I don't know, Microsoft. But the point is, like, it has to be a smartphone device. That's all you can compete with. And unless you do something that's revolutionary, like 3D teleporting thing, the feature sets have to be standardized to that. And that's the point in WordPress. WordPress, remember, had a purpose, and it still does. It's to deliver the output of the membership website. The tools that are in there, this is like a conversation we spent 16 years farting around with, should never have happened this way.
No,
it should happen by accident.
Well, you know, we've endlessly discussed the reasons that have led to this. Well, unfortunately,
now that we're here,
yeah,
let's talk about why the thing was built in the first place. We're delivering websites to people, and the features in the websites are important. The tool set, we can debate forever which is the best tool, but like, what's the one that's standard would be a better conversation, because then you can make cool features for that standard set of tools.
Yeah. So to finish off, I feel that if you're looking to build a membership website on WordPress in 2022, 2023, with all the benefits of ownership, of owning your own membership website, not leasing it on somebody else's platform, which is, I understand last week, one of the leading SaaS platforms was down for a whole day. I won't name it, but it was down for a whole day, Spencer, and nobody could do anything. Nothing. Right?
I mean, that happens unless that's a weird thing too. But like yesterday, Venmo was out for 4 hours. That was weird, but that happens.
You're
on a hosted platform, you know.
Yeah, yours. You know, good luck to you. You can't even email people because it's part of the platform. But if you're looking to build it on WordPress, or you're getting somebody to build it for you on WordPress, I would advise you to either use Gutenberg with one of the add-ons that we've discussed, or use Elementor, or maybe Divi if the person that's building it for you wants to use it. But if you're looking at any of the others, I'm sorry, they're great people and I've got nothing against them. I just don't see a long-term future for a lot of these players apart from Divi and Elementor, because I just think...
I mean, I'm making a slightly different version of that recommendation. I'm saying the rule, the decision tree is, do you have a social network, yes or no? Is that the primary thing? If yes, you're going to use Buddy Boss as the theme underneath it. Then the next question is, do you already have some familiarity or indebtedness to Divi or Elementor, yes or no? And if the answer is no, sorry, use a Gutenberg solution. Because unless you've got a legacy of Elementor or Divi, there is no point in using them unless you're going to do the opposite of what I just said, which is then just go to their platform and use their platform like it's a SaaS. That's it. And everything else that's below that, I agree with your point, which is it's been nice, it's been fun, but the conversation in my mind ended a while ago about oxygen and bricks and then breakdance and all this other stuff.
But for a certain group of people in the WordPress, they're just fanatic about it, but nobody cares. They just love talking about it, but nobody cares. This is the problem.
I spend a lot of time on those, you know, vintage car forums and, you know, airplane forums because it's fun to talk about it. But that's like when you get down to what you're going to sell, what I do with WP Launch Kit is a way to demonstrate for free to people. Today, with one button with Launch Kit, you could have a free or a pro version of exactly the thing I sell to people for $5,000 to $10,000, or you could sell today for a couple hundred with one button push. And it's because of curating out the things that simply work. And you could substitute, sure, the cadence for the Astra Spectra. But the point is, you're not sitting here trying to think of like flea market mindset. You're like, what if WordPress really was like Wix or Weebly or Squarespace?
Well, you want my opinion. And yeah, we'll be discussing it after the podcast part of this show. We can be discussing. I've got some more interesting things. Spencer's got a hard stop, but we can spend 10 minutes. We're going to wrap up the this part of the show, which is also turned into a podcast, folks, which you can get now on iTunes, Spotify, and all the leading platforms. Spencer, how can people find out more about you and your great knowledge, Spencer?
I mean, generally, WPLaunchify.com is my central hub for the moment. SpencerForeman.com is coming online soon. But what I want people to do from this show is to go to WPLaunchKit.com, give their email, they'll get my curated newsletter of what we're talking about, but more importantly, they'll get access to these instant membership site demos that you could literally follow the free instructions that are very thorough and have in minutes the exact thing that I recommend if you had a private consultation with me, albeit ready for you to use and do what you want with for 2 hours. And that's the way I can bring the continuity to this, you know, ecosystem, is by showing and teaching people for free what it is to do, and then they can decide for themselves by actually test driving it, versus these sort of right now challenging, where do I get all the stuff, put it together, oh, who can bother? So WPLaunchKit.com would definitely be a place to send folks for today and try it out.
Yeah, so, and if you're looking for great hosting that specializes in membership website, plus a whole library of very expensive plugins that we provide for free, plus we link all the email and make sure that everything works, plus give you constant support and advice, go over to WP Tonic. It's just a fantastic offer that starts at $35 a month. And we'll get you up and running on your membership website ASP. And it's just a great offering. We'll be back next week with another great topic, great advice about building a membership website and making income for you and your family and providing the freedom that you're looking for. We'll be back next week, folks. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.